Ramananda Rai, the Lord sent Pradyumna Mishra to the residence of Ramananda Rai, and Pradyumna Mishra learned Krishna Katha from him. Text 65. Gopinatha Patanayaka Ramananda Bhrata Raja Marite Chila Prabhu Haila Trata. After this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saved Gopinath Patanayaka, the younger brother of Ramananda Rai, from being condemned to death by the king. Text 26. Ramachandra Puri Bhai Bhiksha Gataila Vaishnavera Dukhe Dekhi Ardheka Rakhila. Ramachandra Puri criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eating. Therefore, the Lord reduced his eating to a minimum. However, when all the Vaishnavas became very sorry, the Lord increased his portion to half as much as usual. Brahmananda bitare haya chaudha bhuvane baise yata jivagana. There are 14 planetary systems within the universe, and all living entities reside in those planetary systems. Manushyera vesha dhari yatrikera chale prabhura darshana kare asi nila chale. Dressing like human beings on pilgrimage, they all used to come to Jagannath Puri to visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ekadina Srivasadi yata bhakta gana mahaprabhura gunagana karena kirtan. One day, all the devotees, headed by Srivas Thakur, were chanting the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shuni bhakta gane kahe sakrodha vachane krishna nama gunachadi kikara kirtane. Not liking the chanting of his transcendental qualities, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised them as if he were angry. What kind of chanting is this? He asked. Are you leaving aside the chanting of the holy names of the Lord? Odhatya karite haila sabaka ramana svatantra haiya sabe nashabe bhuvana. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised all the devotees, telling them not to show impudence and spoil the entire world by becoming independent. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned all his followers not to become independent or impudent. Unfortunately, after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many apasampradayas, so-called followers, invented many ways not approved by the acharyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described them as the owl, bowl, kartabhaja, neda, daravesha, sani, sahajiya, sabhibeki, smarta, jata gosani, ativadi, chudadari, and Gauranga Nagari. The Owl Sampradaya, Bowl Sampradaya, and others invented their own ways of understanding Lord Chaitanya's philosophy without following in the footsteps of the Acharyas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself indicates herein that all such attempts would simply spoil the spirit of his cult. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Ukam Kavati Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripatamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just a little historical perspective here again. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to reside permanently in Jagannath Puri for 18 years to perform his pastime. So this Madhya Lila is just a synopsis of all of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. So now it's in the Antalila, and here Mahaprabhu has returned after traveling all over India for 6 years, and he's come back to Jagannath Puri to reside for 18 years until he leaves his manifest Lila and returns back to his spiritual abode. And here there's some very interesting philosophical points. We can derive a lot of philosophy out of the Lord's pastimes, out of his Lila. Since Krishna and his incarnations are the embodiment of transcendental knowledge, so every act, everything that the Lord does has some meaning, some spiritual meaning for the benefit of the conditioned souls in the material world. And actually the Lord serves many purposes with all of his actions. It's to enjoy his Leela, his relationship with his devotees in different moods, but also to teach. There's innumerable factors in the Lord's pastimes. So in this particular pastime, and it's funny because the Lord contradicts what he's saying here a little bit later on in some of the verses afterwards. But here he's teaching his devotees and ultimately teaching all of his followers that you have to follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. It's that nice verse. Just memorizing this verse. Mahajina Kata Sapanta. What's the first part? Huh? Anybody know the part before? No, the first part is different. Mahajana Yena Kata Sapanta. Huh? Anyway, this verse means that one has to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajanas. Now we have, in Srimad Bhagavatam, describes 12 Mahajanas, great souls, who are fixed in devotional service and whose teachings are our guiding light, these 12 Mahajanas. And then in our disciplic succession, while we don't exactly put them or say they're one of the 12 Mahajanas, but we have our disciplic succession and our Mahajanas in the disciplic succession, the Acharyas who have given us the teachings of the Mahajanas through the disciplic succession. And it's important to follow their instructions through the present Acharya. Srila Prabhupada is the present Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, always was and always will be. And his instructions to us are the guiding light for our lives, and one has to follow those instructions and without deviation, as closely as possible, and study them, learn them, understand what his mood is, what he wanted from us, from his disciples and future followers. And put that into practice. And here Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is becoming disturbed because his disciples or followers here, they're starting to chant about him. I don't know if this is the exact instance that I'm thinking of, but there were instances where his disciples used to call him God. You, Mahaprabhu, you are Krishna himself. And he used to cover his ears and say, I'm not God, I'm the servant of the servant of God. Gopi bar toward Padakamala or Das 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 Anudas. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. And he would cover his ears. He didn't want to hear that he was God. And here also they are glorifying him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, glorifying all of his qualities and his activities, his pastimes, and he's chastising them. He doesn't want to hear about himself, he wants to hear about Krishna. He wants to hear the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, the pastimes of the Lord. So this is a very important instruction to us as part of taking in the same way the mood of the Acharyas, taking here the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings, because those who changed his teachings, they are described here in this purport, all these different apa sampradayas, owl, bowl, sahajiyas, gauranga nagaris, etc. They all twisted the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in some way or other. Not familiar with all of these different apa sampradayas, but some of the ways that they twisted the philosophy is some of them actually promoted monism, which is impersonalism. And others, like sahajiyas, they created a very cheap process for approaching the Supreme Lord, and they would dress themselves, or they still do, dress themselves as gopis and imitate the activities of the gopis. Another deviation in philosophy is worshipping Gaur Nitai as, this is a very subtle difference, but to worship them as God instead of to worship them as the servants of Godhead. It's a very subtle difference, worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of his being God, rather than worshiping him in the mood of his being or trying to be a servant of Godhead. Very fine difference in philosophy there. I forget which one of these apa sampradayas was. I think it's the Gauranga Nagaris who professed this philosophy. And earlier on, I remember, in one of the classes, it was almost the same verses, but the same subject matter was there that came up in the class that I had to speak on. But these are all subtle differences in the philosophy, so it really behooves us to go deep into the Siddhantic conclusions of our Acharyas, to understand what their mood is, what they were speaking, and Mahaprabhu, what he is speaking here. He wants to hear the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And we do chant before the deities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, etc. But we worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of his being a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as God and as his own devotee. And it's a mood of Sankirtan, it's a mood of chanting the holy names of the Lord, it's a mood of preaching, of spreading Krishna consciousness. There was a letter that I read yesterday to one devotee, Srila Prabhupada wrote this letter, and in part of the letter, Prabhupada chastises the devotee, and said that he had heard or received a letter from this devotee that he was sitting and translating some Vaishnava literatures, and Prabhupada was chastising him that, why have you taken up this translating? This is not in our line. Ours is a preaching line. In other words, this devotee was just sitting and translating books and not doing anything really practical to preach. And Prabhupada indicated that in our line, preaching is prominent, and that he should concentrate more on preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness as opposed to just reading, studying, translating. Of course, other places, Prabhupada has also said that these books need to be translated and devotees need to read them. But for emphasis, sometimes Prabhupada would emphasize different points. So we have to sometimes see the contradictions in the points and understand them in in the light of all contradictions are resolved in the absolute, so to speak, but both instructions apply, and therefore there has to be a balance of both the instructions. Just like later on, Mahaprabhu, after this verse, the crowds that have gathered outside, thousands of people, and they're all calling, Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, please come outside. You are the son of Nanda Maharaj, and we want to see you. And he decides, okay, let me go out and fulfill their desires, and goes out, and the devotees become ecstatic that they're seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the son of Maharaj Nanda. And later on, and afterwards, Srivas Pandit kind of jokingly criticizes him, saying that at home, you tell us that we can't call you the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but here you're doing the exact opposite. So in the activities of the Lord and his pure devotees, there are sometimes contradictions in what they do and what they say. But this is to... because within the Leela, all contradictions can be experienced by the Lord. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shuyate svabhavaki gyana bala kriyacha. The Lord is full of inconceivable potencies, so he can experience both ends of the stick. In Krishna Leela, sometimes the Lord appears to become a coward. Ranchur is his name in the story, where he flees from the battlefield, apparently in fear what was the king's name? Jarasandha, yes, Jarasandha. Therefore, he got the name Rancher. And his devotees, they enjoy calling him by that name Rancher, because there's a transcendental lila in that mood that the Lord accepts as being fearful or a coward. But actually, of course, the Lord is not a coward, because he had already defeated Jarasandha's armies 10 times or 12 times or something like that. So there's no question of him being a coward. But he likes to experience all of these different aspects of his lila. And here Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing, he wants to experience being a devotee. He doesn't want to everybody to worship him as God. On the other hand, sometimes he has to manifest himself as God for the pleasure of his devotees, for the service of his devotees, to please them. So the Lord can act in all contradictory ways, but we have to follow his instructions. So here the instruction is, chant the holy names of the Lord. He doesn't want to hear about himself. He's in the mood of being his own devotee. So in the same way, we follow the instructions of the acharyas. We can't create our own mood of devotional service. There's another interesting letter that I read yesterday. Prabhupada explains that even if one of his disciples becomes qualified as a spiritual master, qualified in self-realization, qualified in their Krishna consciousness, still, it is the duty of the disciple. It is the duty of the disciple to follow in the mood of his spiritual master and not create any new concepts. Otherwise, without the unity of leader, the way Prabhupada explained, paraphrasing, without the unity of leadership of following the predecessor acharya, then there will be no progress in the mission. So, even as disciples, direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada, or disciples of Srila Prabhupada, we have to know what Srila Prabhupada wanted of us. And we have to be very careful of this tendency to change things. Prabhupada called this the disease of the Western, our Western disease, always changing. always wanting to make our way of doing things or changing things because we think there's a better way to do them, or that Prabhupada's instructions are outdated or no longer relevant, some of them or parts of them or whatever the case may be. But we have to see that Prabhupada's instructions are actually relevant for all time. At least for the next 10,000 years, we have his books, his instructions, his guidance. It's still there. Prabhupada is still sitting right there on the Vyasasan in his Murti form. He's still present in his books and his instructions. And just as it said that association with the spiritual master through his Vani is more important than the Vapu. So that means that the Vani must go on. He goes on after the disappearance of the spiritual master. So a serious follower of Srila Prabhupada, whether we're new or old, we have to take it upon ourselves to really study and understand what Prabhupada's preaching mood is, and to maintain that and to establish it, to expand it, develop it. And in this way, Krishna consciousness will really spread. The warning is here. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, very important point in this purport, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself indicates herein that all such attempts, in other words, attempt of not following in the footsteps, the purport, the Bala Sampradaya and others invented their own ways of understanding Lord Chaitanya's philosophy without following in the footsteps of the Acharyas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself indicates herein that all such attempts would simply spoil the spirit of his cult. So there's a spirit of the cult. I say that many years ago that word cult would have had a bad connotation. Nowadays it's not so bad. But the spirit of the cult, what is the spirit of the cult of this Sankirtan movement? It's to spread Krishna consciousness, to preach, and there are specific ways that Prabhupada taught us to do that, isn't it? He emphasized these things. He used these things as the litmus test for the success of his movement, of ISKCON. Sometimes devotees would come to Prabhupada and report the activities of a temple. The temple president would come and before Prabhupada and tell him, give them a little report on the progress. And Prabhupada would say, so how many books distributed and how many devotees were made? And that's how he judged the success of the temple. And often he would say, you judge by the result. Right? You judge by the result. So that means if the results are what you judge by, then if we're not making devotees, if we're not distributing books, if people are not coming to Krishna consciousness, that means that the success is not there yet. We could be doing better. There's something that we are missing in the process of executing the instructions of the spiritual master. So these things are important to keep in mind. There's some discipline in that regard. Actually, in that letter by Srila Prabhupada discussing that even if one of his disciples becomes fully qualified, he should still follow the mood of his spiritual master, Prabhupada uses the example of ordinary mundane corporations. He said if in a regular corporation the leadership is not there, if there's no unity in the leadership, then there'll be no advancement of the corporation. So similarly, in an institution, ISKCON is an institution. It's a spiritual institution. It's not like a mundane institution. It's the first of its kind in the history of Vaishnavism, a spiritual Vaishnava institution. Although there are dangers within the concepts of institution, there are spiritual principles that can guide the institution so that it will not devolve into a mundane institution. Mundane institutions generally become oriented by either rules and regulations or strict boundaries of activity, which in many ways confine the progress of the individual. A very fine line again. An institution, a spiritual institution, allows the individual to grow in their spiritual life while at the same time maintaining boundaries on the spiritual restrictions. Very interesting, because within Vaishnavism, obviously, there are many rules and regulations, and there is a mood to be maintained of the founder of the institution. But at the same time, there is growth of the individual. The problem with institutions is that the individuals do not grow. Of course, we want ISKCON to grow as an institution, and we also want the individuals to also grow, both. But within institutions, sometimes the individuals don't grow. They are sometimes manipulated by leadership, and restricted in various ways that won't allow them to grow. But in a spiritual institution like ISKCON, we want to maintain the mood of the acharyas, and we want to follow Srila Prabhupada, and in that process we all grow individually in our spiritual lives. We all grow in, just like that famous letter Srila Prabhupada wrote to Karandar. Karandar wanted to, centralize the management of the movement. And Prabhupada said, this is not the proper method for managing. He wanted to create, he wanted his individual disciples to become thoughtful and independent. He wanted them all to open temples and run temples and manage temples so that each one of them could learn all the different aspects of Krishna conscious management and kirtan and cooking and all these different things. He didn't want specialization. That was the word, that one of the words Prabhupada used in the letter. He didn't like the idea of specialization, that everyone should just get some specialized field. He preferred that everyone learned all the different aspects of Krishna consciousness so that all of his disciples could go out and open temples and preach, and independently preach, independently thoughtful. What are the exact words? But those words were there, independently thoughtful. So Prabhupada wanted that. Yet, he wanted an institution that was run by a GBC with rules and regulations and authority structure, etc., etc. So we also have to keep that in mind at the same time. So these verses are important because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching by his own speaking, by his own example here, that he does not want deviation from the principles of the acharyas, from his teachings, from his example, and we can take it to the level of following in the footsteps of acharyas, of our acharyas, and particularly Srila Prabhupada, and spread Krishna consciousness, keeping his instructions in mind and his mood. What is Srila Prabhupada's mood? It's very his mood is vast. We can't actually just pin it down completely, but there is a mood to Srila Prabhupada's preaching and a mood to his spreading Krishna consciousness which we can imbibe and we can learn and place into our heart And by doing that, Srila Prabhupada will be pleased, Acharyas will be pleased, and Krishna consciousness will spread. We can't spread it by our own ideas or our own methods. We have to follow in the footsteps of the Acharyas. There's room for some innovation and some ideas, new ideas, but generally we want to stick to certain guidelines. There are certain guidelines within which we can do things. So I hope I haven't offended anyone or crossed beyond my boundaries of speech. But I think these things sometimes need to be said. I have these personal feelings also about how important it is to stick to Srila Prabhupada's methodology. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Yes, Indra.
You were talking about how Krishna himself acted in contradictory ways, but our responsibility is to be very straight. And you were also discussing how Srila Prabhupada called into question the practice of one of his disciples who was sitting and translating. And Prabhupada said, this is not the mood of our movement. So I wanted to, in the light of those two statements, how are we to understand that Prabhupada himself did a lot of translating and preaching along with that?
Yeah. Well, that's the answer. The answer is you can't just do... Doing just translating and is not what Srila Prabhupada would have accepted as exemplary, just sitting and translating books. And he didn't do that. He translated books and he traveled around the world 10, 15 times and wrote letters to all of his disciples and met with scientists and politicians and all kinds of people and unlimited preaching. So that's the example. There's another interesting misconception, but it also has to be seen very carefully. There's a conversation with Srila Prabhupada and forgot who it is. And this disciple says to Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, you said that we're not supposed to read the books of the previous acharyas. And Prabhupada says, I never said that. And it goes on, the conversation goes on a little, and Prabhupada said, this is a misunderstanding. This is a misunderstanding. We have to read the books of the acharyas. Prabhupada explained, I'm paraphrasing again, that I'm presenting the conclusions of the acharyas in my books. Therefore, how can you say that I said we shouldn't read the books of the acharyas? But then again, we have to read versions of those books which don't deviate from the conclusions of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Bhaktivinod Thakur and Goswamis. We have to read authorized versions of those books. So sometimes, and I know that place where Prabhupada said we shouldn't read those books either. I mean, also. But so we have to understand what Srila Prabhupada means. We have to read them, but we have to read the right versions. So we don't want to just spend our life immersed in reading this, from this instruction about translating and just reading. And we can't just preach all either. We have to also read. Because if you don't read, you're not going to preach. What are you going to preach if you don't read? I mean, just like these satsandarbhas. I just bought these satsandarbhas translated by Kushakrata, you know, six huge volumes of books. And Prabhupada said we have to read them because within them Jiva Goswami has given all the philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. We have to know all the conclusions of the Gaudiya Siddhanta, because otherwise, as Prabhupada said, that religion without philosophy is sentiment, and philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So you've got to have the philosophy. You have to know why the Mayavadis are wrong. You have to know why impersonalism is wrong, why demigod worship is wrong. It's all really very detailed. Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, such a wonderful story, because it's not just the philosophy. You're seeing a historical perspective. All these different people are coming to these Babaji's with their doubts and their misconceptions and their misunderstandings and their challenges, and they're all being completely resolved, and they all become devotees, or at least if not devotees, they all appreciate Vaishnavism as the supreme process of worship of the supreme Godhead. And it's just so wonderful. There's another book Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, Prema Pradeep. Prema Pradeep. Also, same thing. These three personalities come to visit the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. Jaivadharma's in Navadvip. This one's in Vrindavan. And they come with all these misconceptions about what God is and what about demigod worship and idolism, all these different myths. But after a few days with such and such Babaji's, their lives are completely transformed. Completely transformed. And you can relate to it also as like Prabhupada, because how Prabhupada came here and those who came in touch with him personally or through his books, their lives have been transformed. Because the philosophy is so deep and so real and so sublime. So we have to read the books. We have to read the right verb. But we can't spend all our time just reading and studying like some pundits. We have to practically apply. We have to engage in devotional service, practical devotional activities to serve the deities, to serve the devotees, to spread Krishna consciousness, all these different things. It's like a complete package. Prabhupada gave us a complete package. That's why, again, I say the mood of Srila Prabhupada is this package. Sometimes, like he called the morning program and the evening program is like this spiritual sandwich. You go to the morning program, then you go out and you preach and distribute books, Harinam, then you come back, and in the evening there's an evening program. This is the spiritual sandwich. So these things are part of the mood of Srila Prabhupada, and to keep in line with that understanding is what we have to do. Prabhupada, again, many times, even in his will, even in his last will, he stated that the management of ISKCON should go on and there is no need for any change. No need for any change. There's no, we just have to stick to his principles and everything will be successful. It's like the doctor gives the prescription. So if you take the bottle, the drug home, and you decide, well, I'm not going to take one every 6 hours, I'm going to take one every 4 hours. Or I'm going to take one every day. So if you take too many or too little, then there's going to be some bad result. You won't get cured. So the spiritual master, the acharya, not just the spiritual, here we're talking about the acharya. There can be spiritual masters within the mission of the acharya, but they only teach and stick to the principles of the acharya. So the acharya gave the medicine, and we have to follow the prescription. Sorry, long answer there, but...
Yeah, to follow up on that, on the previous question, I mean, Prabhupada gave a lot of instructions. I mean, we have volumes. And some of them are like general principles that are sacrament, is that the word? And some of them, like with that example that was brought up, I mean, here was this one Prabhu doing some translation work. And Prabhupada, I guess it was a letter, I mean, specifically was directing a letter to this individual and perhaps his specific circumstance at that time. How do you, so then how do you deal with that progressively, or, you know, proactively?
So that's a good
yeah.
question, because generally Prabhupada's books are the highest form of authority. All of his instructions, obviously, are authority. As once was this argument, well, Prabhupada is the authority, therefore whatever he says is authoritative, therefore you can't distinguish his books, letters, conversations. But generally, like with the Bhaktivedanta, the Vedabase, there's even a description in the introduction on the Vedabase, that while all these instructions are there, some of them are time and place and circumstance, some of them are to particular individuals, etc., etc., but Prabhupada's books are the highest form of our authority and guidance for his disciples. However, I think it requires some maturity, because that instruction which is given there in that letter is also, because I've read it in his books, it's also somewhere in his books regarding this mood of not just being a vairagi or being a pundit or something like that and just studying and translating. It's also in his books. But that instruction may have been given to an individual disciple. I kind of see it also as an instruction or guidance for others as well. When Prabhupada says, it is not in our line, those are the words that Prabhupada uses. It is not in our line. He doesn't say, I don't want you to do that, because it's not what I want you to do. He says, it is not in our line. So therefore that instruction is being qualified, it's a general instruction, but and it's being qualified by those words. It's not in our disciplic succession, understand. Of course, the six Goswamis are there, but they also preached again, too. They did also preach. And that was their particular instruction by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to write books on the science of devotional service. So that was their specific. If you're given an instruction by your spiritual master to sit and translate and write books, okay, there's the exception to the rule. But the general principle, so you've got general rules and specific instructions, right? So all these things you got to have to be looked at very carefully with a mature disposition. Gyanagamya Prabhu.
Something just came to mind, in a principle of management is that you don't treat every employee exactly the same. You know, if you have a married man with three kids and two of them are in college, you pay him more, you know. And if you have someone who's just, you know, not married and on his own and so forth, doesn't have any responsibilities, you pay him less, you know. So you give him different, according to the different abilities and use of one's ability, you pay or you facilitate more or less. And so someone has an ability to actually translate books, it's very, very elevated, then that person, if he shows that ability and he shows that he is in the line, he wants to be in the line, then you give him that facility.
I mean, we do have, even, you know, in Vrindavan, we have devotees that are translating books that's a very important service. Prabhupada wanted the books translated.
Yeah, Gopi Pranadana comes to mind, and he's like, if you've ever heard of his lectures, he's very, very aware of practically everything, you know, so many things. Well, I won't say practically everything, but so many things. And whatever decision or conclusions he comes to are based on an understanding of these different opinions and different attitudes, and always with respect to what Prabhupada said, you know, as the final judgment on where to go. Also, all of these little, you can call them deviations or these sidetrack things that people get into and so forth, if they distract from the basic idea, chanting 16 rounds, following the regular principles, you know, supplicating before the deity and so forth, if they detract from that in any way, then we can understand that they're, you know, they're bogus, that they're not actually bona fide. They're not something that we want to indulge or worry with. I remember as you were giving the class, I was thinking, you mentioned the Sahajas. I remember in India, there was a poster, a big poster with this lady guru, and she was advertising Sahajya Yoga. So it was all over town, it was all over Calcutta. It was amazing.
Sahajya Yoga,
you know. And, you know, it's like, get the bliss and so forth. But that's just definitely not our in our line, so we don't go for those things.
Yeah. I have a little example, you know, late, of in when Prabhupada's time, when he was with us, there was the creation of this preaching program called the Roadshow. All the Prabhupada's disciples here would be familiar with that, the Roadshow. And it was kind of like formed after, if you know the band The Who, they created, they had this a rock opera called Tommy. And it was kind of formed after that with a dramatic performance and all kinds of stuff going on. It was a big, huge thing. I was too young, I don't think I ever saw it. I listened to the record. But Tommy was what it's called. And so this roadshow was formed after that. And Prabhupada went to see it, and these devotees, they got a little carried away. I don't want to criticize devotees who play guitar and other instruments, because there's some value to that in different situations. But Prabhupada went and saw this show, and they were really getting wild with the music, rock music and everything. And Prabhupada said, so his first comment was, "So these are our men?" And he stopped the whole thing. So even though they were trying to preach, and they're trying to spread Krishna consciousness in that way, and they were chanting, I guess I never actually saw it myself, but Prabhupada didn't like that presentation. He didn't like that presentation. And there's something else. Yeah, he said that this will simply attract hippies, and it will become another hippie version. And you may attract people by this big show, but after some time they'll lose their interest, they'll lose their attraction. So therefore, he insisted, I'm paraphrasing here now, but he said that better to attract people to the real message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then you will get serious followers. Anyway, I'll stop here now. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.